कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे भूताय महत्प्रेम भरो विभूर निर्मा क्षति आदमुष पुरुष मुक्त गुणा सदस्य सदसुद्मकृष्ठ भगवान वचाम से मे हरे कृष्ण सो आई एम वेरी ऑनर्ड टू बी बैक टू द वेस्टर्न headquarters of International Society of Krishna Consciousness and have all of your wonderful association and with all of your blessings we will be reading and discussing the 21st text of the 9th canto of the 1st canto of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sarvatmana Samadrisha. Sarvatmana samadrisha yad vayasya naham krite yad vayasya naham krite tat kritam machi vaishamyam tat kritam mati vaishamyam Nirabhatyasya na kvachit. Nirabhatyasya na kvachit. Sarvatmana samadrisha. Yad vayasya naham krite. Tat kritam mati vaishramyam. Nirabhatyasya na kvachit. Please. Tatkritam mati vaishamyam. Yavadasanakvachit. Tatkritam mati vaishamyam. Yavadasanakvachit. Sarvatmana samadrisha. Tatkritam mati vaishamyam. Nakvachit. Sarvatmana samadrisha. Ladies, please. Sarvatmana samadrisha. Yavadyasya naham krite tatkritam mati vaishamyam niradyasya nakvachit savatmana samadrisha vaishamyam Sarva Atmana, of one who is present in everyone's heart. Samadrisha, of one who is equally kind to one and all. he? Certainly. Advayasya of the absolute. Anahankrite, free from all material identity of false ego. Tatkritam, everything done by him. Mati, consciousness. Vaishamyam, differentiation. Niravadyasya, freed from all attachment. Na, never. Kvachit, at any stage. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, He is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone, and He is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever He does is free from material inebriety. He is equibalanced. Purport. Because He is absolute, there is nothing different from Him. He is Kaivalya. There is nothing except Him. Everything and everyone is the manifestation of His energy, and thus He is present everywhere by His energy, being non-different from it. The sun is identified with every inch of the sun rays and every molecular particle of the rays. Similarly, the Lord is distributed by His different energies. He is Paramatma, or the Super Soul, present in everyone as the supreme guidance, and therefore He is already the chariot driver and counsel of all living beings. When He therefore exhibits Himself as chariot driver of Arjuna, there is no change in His exalted position. It's the power of devotional service only that demonstrates Him as the chariot driver or the messenger. Since He has nothing to do with the material conception of life, because He is absolute spiritual identity, there is for Him no superior or inferior action. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, He has no false ego, and so He does not identify Himself with anything different from Him. The material conception of ego is equibalanced in Him. He does not feel, therefore, inferior by becoming the chariot driver of His pure devotee. It's the glory of the pure devotee that only He can bring about service from the affectionate Lord. Sarvatmana samadrisho kyadbayasya nahankrite tat kritam mati vaishamyam niravadyasya na kvachit. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, He is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone, and He is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever He does is free from material inebriety. He is equibalanced. This is another very wonderful prayer or statement made by one of the Mahajans, Bhishma Dev, glorifying the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada gives amazing purport to this verse, glorifying not only Krishna but His devotees as well, such as Arjuna. And this is what Bhakti Shastri, especially Bhagavatam, are about, to glorify the Lord and His devotees. And the glory of Krishna consciousness is such that this process is eternal, and we might hear the scripture and think, oh, there were such great devotees in the past, but know that there are so many great devotees in the present, and in the future there will be so many wonderful devotees. But the thing is that sometimes, due to being too close or too familiar with great devotees, we might not be able to appreciate that greatness. In the same way as you stand too close to the picture, like We have so many wonderful pictures here in the temple room made by devotee artists, and it's really amazing how gifted they are, how many gifted souls we have in this moment. But if you put your nose to the picture, I doubt you would be able to see very much. So in order to really appreciate the picture, you have to stand back a little bit. So in the same way, familiarity oftentimes breeds contempt, and so being in touch with great devotees, we might fail to appreciate their greatness. And that's why in the third canto of Bhagavatam, it says that even the members of the Yadu dynasty, they failed to appreciate the greatness of Krishna. They were just thinking he is another one of us. And the comparison is given that in the same way as fishes, they couldn't figure out what the moon is. And so this morning when I came to the temple, and of course being very happy to see all of you, and one of the devotees, Sachitanoi Prabhu, came to me and he said, "How are you?" And I said, "I'm fine." And I asked him about his well-being, and he said, "Oh, same old, just distributing books." And of course, I know what he is thinking to himself. "Oh, I'm not doing something special, just book distribution, day in and out. Very simple service." But anyone who did that knows that even though it seemed to be simple, but it's not easy at all. Because you have to be in the blazing Californian sun and meeting all kinds of people, and sometimes strange people, sometimes crazy people, sometimes antagonistic people. So it's not at all, I mean, it's not easy to do it physically and mentally. And for someone doing that service for so long, like Sachintanoya Prabhu, Brigupati Prabhu, a number of other devotees, actually decades together, the only thing I can think of is the symptoms of bhava described in Nectar of Devotion. One of the main symptoms is steadiness in service. So but yeah, sometimes this is how it's happening, that we appreciate devotees only after we become separated from them or lose their association. And of course here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada, actually this is very amazing that somehow or other I was asked to give class on this particular verse, because one quote from the purport I quote, one passage from this purport I quoted I don't know how many times, because it's part of my Bhagavad Gita crash course, Bhagavad Gita in 1.5 hours. And this statement is so precisely capturing the relevance of Bhagavad Gita for us. And it's quite interesting how in the very beginning of the first canto, the connection with Bhagavad Gita, connection between Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is established. Of course, there is historical connection as well, because Srimad Bhagavatam is nothing but extension of Mahabharata, and the most important part of Mahabharata is, of course, Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, every single statement made in Bhagavad Gita is so amazingly illustrated in Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada reveals very subtle truths in his purports such as in this particular purport, explaining what's Krishna's position, because sometimes we might think, what is the relevance of like Bhagavad Gita in my life, because it's been spoken more than 5,000 years ago, it's been spoken to the royal of to the prince Arjuna, it's been spoken on the battlefield. Krishna and Arjuna were sitting on the same chariot, and Arjuna was so fortunate because he had Krishna by his side, just next to him, funny enough, below him, because the charioteer, the chariot driver, is sitting below the warrior on the chariot. And so, actually, it's very interesting. The way how the driver tells the charioteer to drive either forward or left or right, because during the battle there is so much noise, right? No matter how loud you shout, even the person next to you would not be able to properly hear you. And so the system they use during the battle, because the warrior on the chariot is sitting higher and the charioteer is sitting lower, and so the warrior is actually tapping the chariot, a charioteer, on the shoulder with their feet. You know, if they tap the charioteer on the right side, it means go right. If they tap on the left, means go left. I'm not exactly sure what they do to say, you know, go faster or slower. But anyway, they have their own system. So this is what Arjuna was doing to Krishna. This is Krishna's humility. It's mind-blowing. And actually, it's described that Krishna not only driven Arjuna's chariot, but he was also looking after the horses, washing the horses and feeding the horses and cleaning the chariot. So doing all kinds of menial services to his dear devotee. This is what Srila Prabhupada means by saying that the glory of the pure devotee, that only he can bring about service from the affectionate Lord. This kind of services that Krishna goes to any extent to serve his pure devotee. Because love is reciprocal. Anyway, I've got a little bit distracted, but anyway, I'll finish saying that because it's an amazing point. What kind of intimate relationships are existing between the Lord and his pure devotees, his loving devotees, that Krishna was driving Arjuna's chariot during the battle. And battlefield means the arrows are shot at everyone. And because Krishna was sitting in front of Arjuna, he was getting so many arrows at him, shot at him. And this is one of the verses, meditation verses of Bhishmadev, also appearing in this chapter, that he's meditating on Krishna, whose black hair became gray due to so much dust raised by the hoof of the horses. And his face and body was fully covered with sweat and blood, drops of sweat and blood. And blood coming from the sharp arrows. Bhishmadev says, I was shooting those arrows. And so, but nevertheless, Krishna was smiling in ecstasy because he was so happy to render such an intimate service to his devotee. So it's amazing how Krishna is ready to go at any length to serve his pure devotee. And this is the power of devotional service. And there are so many instances, like Lord Chaitanya revealing to Haridas Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat, saying that Haridas, weren't you amazed that when you were beaten so heavily at the 22 marketplaces that you felt no pain when you were chanting Hare Krishna? And Haridas was saying, sure, yeah, it was very surprising. You know why? No, Lord, please explain to me. Because I covered your back with my own body. And then the Lord showed the scars from the beating at the 22 marketplaces on his own back. And then, of course, Haridas Thakur was so moved, he just cried. Because he realized how, you know, how much the extent to which Krishna is ready to go to protect his devotee. And one very amazing instance, I'm sure there have been a lot in ISKCON movement at present, but one very amazing one happened in New Zealand. There been an earthquake number of years back in at New Varshana. Also that the center of the earthquake was in Christchurch, around the Christchurch, but then Auckland and New Varshana, there were also quite heavy pushes. Even though no devotee suffered, no devotee died in the earthquake, even though so many people died, it's amazing that Krishna protected all the devotees. But during the earthquake, it actually happened at noon arati, and devotees were there, some devotees were there at the temple, and Pujari was standing next to Gornitai and serving Gornitai. And then the first push came. And naturally, you know, devotees are thinking of Krishna first and then themselves last. The Pujari ran to Lord Nityananda because he was standing by the side of Lord Nityananda, right? And then he held on to Lord Nityananda to make sure that he's steady on the altar, right? And then the second push was really strong, and then the whole altar actually came down, crushed. But the Pujari found himself flying out of the altar really far and landing in the middle of the temple room. And after that, the whole altar came down, and the deities were destroyed. Actually, I was before when I heard that no devotees suffered, but the deities were destroyed by the earthquake. I was thinking, how come? Why Krishna allowed deities to be destroyed? But when I heard that story, I realized that actually Lord Nityananda sacrificed himself to protect his devotee. So it's really amazing what's going on. And you know, otherwise, how do you explain that? How did he went flying off the altar like that? Because he was holding on to Lord Nityananda. And yeah, there are so many instances in the past, present, and as we were mentioning, in the future, the glories of devotional service will be revealed more and more, because the Lord is always there for his devotees. But the point I was trying to make is the relevance of Bhagavad Gita to our lives. This is what Srila Prabhupada explains here in the purport. he says Krishna is also Paramatma. He is Paramatma, or the Super Soul present in everyone as the Supreme Guidance. And therefore, he is already the chariot driver and counsel of all living beings. When he therefore exhibits himself as chariot driver of Arjuna, there is no change in his exalted position. It is the power of devotional service only that demonstrates him as the chariot driver or the messenger. So we can understand that, in fact, our position is not different from Arjuna's position in any way, shape or form. Because Arjuna was sitting on the chariot, we're also on the chariot. And what is the chariot? It's our body, yeah. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridyesha Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Yani Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya, that it's the machine made of material energy, and we're sitting there, and who is sitting next to us? It's Paramatma, Krishna, in the form of Super Soul. And why he is there? For the exactly same purposes. He was sitting next to Arjuna's chariot, next to Arjuna on the chariot, for driving the chariot. We might think, oh, it's my body, and I am operating this body, which is, of course, very naive proposal. Actually, I came across one atheist, and he was challenging me. He said, if you're so convinced that God is there, prove it to me. Give me some proof that God is there. And I laughed. I said, I will not even like bother. I'll just ask you one question, try to answer it. He said, what's the question? And I said, who is operating your body? And he stuck with the answer. He realized he cannot really, you know, because it seems like, okay, I am lifting my hand, I am walking, I am eating, I am doing this and that. But how in the world you grow your hair? How do you grow your fingernails? I mean, fingernails is a bone, but it's just growing out of the skin. Is it not amazing? And there are so many things in the body we're not even aware of. Right? Most of the people, you know, in a good health, you ask them, what side of your belly is your liver or spleen? Normally they are wrong with it, you know, they give wrong answer. Unless it hurts, they don't even know where, you know, on which side their liver is. So there are, like one guy was joking that, I was born multitasking because I can breathe, think, and blink at the same time. So there are so many processes happening in the body. We're not even aware of, what to speak of controlling them. So somebody else is operating this machine. And so, yeah, the Lord is driving this chariot, not us. We're just desiring. Like Arjuna, he was telling Krishna, please drive my chariot in the middle of the army. So Krishna did that for him. And so our desires, Paramatma is just fulfilling them. And so this body is operating on the basis of our desires. Of course, if we mess things up, then Krishna might show who is the boss. Sometimes we desire and things do not happen, right? Because we have to realize who is the boss. Like, there is a joke that there are two most important things in life to realize in life, that there is God and you are not Him, right? And Prabhupada put it very beautiful, in a beautiful form. He said, Krishna is God and you are not. And so, yeah. But yeah, Krishna is driving this chariot. But what's the purpose? The purpose is to, well, struggle for existence, human race. This is what he was saying in his offering to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. That it's a battlefield. This world is a battlefield. That's why Srila Prabhupada was saying that to answer one's reporter's, you know, challenge. Why, if India is such an advanced spiritual country why the mortality rate in India is higher than in the first world. And Prabhupada laughed and he said, what do you mean? The mortality rate is always the same. It's always 100% everywhere on the planet. And so struggle for existence. But if we want to actually emerge victorious, we have to follow Krishna's guidance. In the same way as Arjuna had to follow Krishna's guidance on the chariot to emerge victorious on during Kurukshetra battlefield, so in the same way, if we follow the Lord's guidance in the heart, it's guaranteed that we'll be victorious. But due to our material mind, we may not hear the guidance of Paramatma in the heart, unfortunately, because mind is so loud. That's why Paramatma is appearing externally as spiritual master to guide us and train us to actually connect to the Lord and do what the Lord says, even without, you know, necessarily asking spiritual master at every step of the way what to do, what not to do. That's the sign of first class disciple. One who does the right thing without being ordered, right? And so that's why the relevance of Bhagavad Gita is exactly the same to Arjuna and to us at all times and in any place. And our purpose is not just to learn Bhagavad Gita, but actually to follow the guidance of Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita is such an amazing book. I was giving an example, material example, but still, that Singapore Airlines is quite prominent airlines, even though it's like a small company. And it rose to the global fame due to the effort of one Christian man, Mr. Pillai. And he actually attributes the success of Singapore Airlines to just one single verse from Bhagavad Gita, which is also historical for us. We also have to put here. It says, those who are on the path, they have to be resolute in purpose and have one aim. And of course, Bhagavad Gita speaks about serving God, but he was thinking in business terms, what is our service to God? That's serving our customers. So instead of just flying airplanes, why should not we focus on service? And so they exceeded in service so much that they rose to global fame. And so it just... one verse of Bhagavad Gita applied in business. We can imagine what can 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita do applied in all spheres of life. So this is how powerful Bhagavad Gita is. And of course, the same single verse of Bhagavad Gita prompted Srila Prabhupada to make this very bold move and actually sail all the way across the planet to United States and start his mission at the age of 70. And so, therefore, Bhagavad Gita is very practical for us. And if we follow Bhagavad Gita, then success of this movement is 100% guaranteed. There is no doubt about it. And I'm always thinking that the success of our movement is always depending on the success of individual devotees. And so the more we become serious about our personal Krishna conscious development, the more we can benefit the world and the more we can help this movement to become successful. So thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. So if there are any questions or comments, suggestions, complaints, corrections, you're welcome to share them. Additions, subtractions. All right. Then we'll go forward to associate with the most attractive form of the Lord for everyone with no exception. Shrimad Bhagavat Prasadam Ki Jai. Shrila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantarat Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.